turn to a an issue now that's causing a lot of attention, particularly in the UK. Marriage and family breakdown is one of the most destructive scourges of our time. And that was a view expressed by serving High Court judge in the UK, Sir Paul Coleridge. And he says that the ease of divorce rules has led to instability of family life, which has had damaging consequences for children's parents and societies. And in a, I suppose it's a highly unusual move for a serving judge, he has this week begun a campaign to promote marriage. He's voiced particular concern over what he calls the Hello Magazine Hollywood image of marriage. And he says the more we spend on weddings, the greater the rate of family breakdown. So this morning we're discussing whether marriage is still a valued institution and whether divorce is destroying the fabric of society. We're going to hear in a moment from the representative of the Marriage Foundation, that campaign being spearheaded by Paul Coleridge. But we're also joined in studio by our panel to discuss the pros and cons of divorce, joined by Maria Steen, a barrister and a director of the Iona Institute, Susan O'Keefe, Labour Senator, and Owen Cullinan, a mediator with Family Mediation Ireland and a certified member of the Mediators Institute of Ireland. Mick, we also want to hear from the listener.
Yes, you can join the conversation by calling us on 1890 453 106, text us on 53106, or get us on Twitter at breakfast.ie.
Okay, we're going to go to Harry Benson, spokesperson for the Marriage Foundation first. Harry, tell us why this new society has been set up.
Good morning. We've got a massive problem in the UK, and it's pretty much true all the way across Europe. It may not be quite so severe in Ireland, but it may well be coming your way. Family breakdown costs about £44 billion a year in the UK, which is bigger than the defence budget. And yet, astonishingly, there's virtually no policy of any kind to reduce, let alone prevent it. And yet an awful lot of family breakdown is preventable. And it's wonderful that High Court judges are standing up and they see this terrible problem at first hand. They've seen it year after year after year. It's been getting worse. And it's wonderful that they are standing up and saying enough's enough, and we need to do something about it. And at the root of this is not just the high divorce rates that we've had for many years, but it's also the increasing trend to for couples to live together outside of marriage. And the fact of the matter is that whether one likes it or not, unmarried couples are very, very much more likely to split up, and there are good reasons for that. But that's really the problem. It's the trend away from marriage, and that's what this is all about. The Marriage Foundation is a flag in the sand saying, enough's enough. We need to start backing marriage and becoming more confident about it as a way of bringing our families together.
Are you suggesting a link between couples who live together and before they get married? Are you saying they're more likely to get divorced?
Oh, for sure. That's well established. And part of the reason for this is that, I mean, you talk to 20-year-olds who live together, and I mean, you know, I've got family members and people I know in their 20s who will readily say you'd be amazed at the number of people who are stuck in relationships they can't get out of. Because we start building these relationships and making them very, very complicated much earlier than ever before. And the fact that we live together so soon tends to complicate the relationship and make it hard to extract ourselves if things are less than perfect. Really, we need to be setting out, we need to be talking to each other about how we're going to set out our plans for the future, making decisions to commit to one another before we make things terribly complicated. So we need to back marriage, we need to get back to marriage. I suspect that the same will be true in Ireland. I hope it's a message that will resonate with you.
Okay, now I know you have another appointment, so we will let you go. Harry Benson, spokesperson for the Marriage Foundation, thank you for joining us this morning.
Now, 9 minutes past nine, just turning to the panel. Maria Steen, if I could start with you first. Divorce. People don't take on marriage lightly. Equally, people do not decide to divorce lightly, quite the opposite, particularly when there are children involved. It's merely something that's there to facilitate when a relationship breaks down. What's the big deal about it?
Well, I think that divorce is a legal reality in Ireland. You know, we've had it now for 15 years. It's been enforced for 15 years. But I think we're starting to see the effects of divorce on our society. According to the last census, the official figures were that there's almost a quarter of a million people who have suffered marital breakdown, be that through divorce, separation or remarriage.
Now, one thing, would a lot of that not be due to the fact that because divorce only came in 15 years ago, this is feeding through a lot of relationships that would have broken down by then anyway?
Yes, that's true. But I think there's also, the census also showed that there was 150% increase in the number of divorced persons between 2002 and 2011. So that, for me, that is a worrying increase. And when we look, I suppose, at the social effects, as Harry was saying there on the phone, now, granted, the rate of divorce in Ireland isn't as high, thankfully, as in the UK or the US, but I think it does no harm that we look and examine our, you know, the way we view marriage and the way we protect it and try to support it. And I think that there is a valid point that perhaps in Ireland, you know, we haven't seen the full effect. It has only been 15 years since divorce was introduced, and we haven't quite seen the full effect of it yet.
What's the alternative? We can't go back to a situation whereby it becomes more difficult to get a divorce.
As I see it, what I would love to see happening is that there is, a government-led initiative to support marriage, that there be proper pre-marriage preparation. My husband and I got married in the Catholic Church 6 years ago, and I was struck at the time at the premarital inquiry that was made of us. We were both interviewed separately to make sure that neither of us was under pressure to go into the marriage. We also had to complete and attend a premarriage course.
But the vast majority of people still get married in a church, irrespective of whether they're
They do, but there is a growing number of people who are choosing not to do so, and the state makes absolutely no inquiry of people before they get married, or offers no help to them in, raising the issues that the pitfalls that often occur in marriages and how to avoid those. So I would really welcome a government initiative in this. If we can have government initiatives and public education, initiatives about healthy eating and exercise, surely we owe as much to marriage.
Okay, Susan O'Keefe, that sounds pretty logical, doesn't it? That the government should focus on marriage and, you know, try and ensure that, while nobody wants to turn the clock back in terms of reversing the divorce legislation, I think most people will be of the view that we don't want to have a similar culture here as is in the case, say, in the UK and in the US.
We certainly don't want to go back to the days when you couldn't have a divorce. And as you've already said, people are coming through the system now that had marriage breakdown and are only just now trying to find their way through divorce. And that must be extremely painful to have waited a very long time. I suppose we've come to the crux of the matter is whether or not the state has an obligation in this matter or not. Whether it is the state's responsibility to intervene to that extent in people's lives. If you look, for example...
Well, it is a legal issue, isn't it, when you get married? You're married in the eyes, not just of the church, if you want that, but you're married in the eyes of the state.
Oh, indeed, it's illegal. I mean, marriage is a legal contract, after all. And that is where, I suppose, we haven't had the intervention of the state. And if you look, I suppose, I'm thinking in the UK of where... forgive the potential analogy, but the National Childbirth Trust, the NCT, have for years supported people preparing for parenthood, and they run classes, they run courses, they're a hugely supportive organisation, and they take it very seriously because preparing for parenthood is of course a very serious matter. But that's not a state intervention. That's run by an organisation, and they do that very efficiently, but they don't do it for everybody. It's not compulsory. So I guess we've come to the point where are we discussing whether or not we want compulsory guidance for people before they marry. And I think that's quite a big step to take.
Why?
Because I feel that if the state, it's that kind of nanny state mentality where the state then is, if you like, involved
before
to that
you
extent
enter
in
any
your
kind of contract, though. You get advice from somebody. You sit down with a lawyer or whatever. I mean, surely...
As you should, yes.
Yeah, and is marriage arguably not the most important contract you're ever going to enter into? Is it not an idea that everyone actually would sit down and be aware of what it is they're headed?
Because indeed, I would support the idea of people, getting some advice and getting support and understanding how extremely important the legal contract that you're about to enter into is. The matter is whether it's the state that does it. I would absolutely support the idea of preparation and understanding, but I'm not sure that that's the responsibility of the state? And if that were the responsibility of the state, would it actually cause some kind of breakdown in terms of people not wanting to take part in it?
I understand your concerns, but I think the main difference, I suppose, between marriage and many other legal contracts, and the reason why the state has an interest in marriage and why marriage is an institution civilly in this country, is mainly for the benefit and the protection of children, because as we know, all the studies show that children do best in low conflict marriages where with both biological parents and the state has an interest in ensuring, we're all talking about children's rights at the moment, you hear it all the time, and you know, if we're serious about protecting children's rights and giving them the best opportunity for doing well in life, then the state has a valid concern in supporting and promoting marriage.
Okay, Owen, from your perspective, is divorce damaging to society? Is it inevitable? Is it overdone?
Well, it's a simple answer to that question. It depends on how you divorce. The initiative that's taking place in the UK is looking at, well, if we promote marriage and provide better supports for marriage, then marriages won't break down, then we won't have these social ramifications. We would view it differently as mediators. It's not a question of whether or not you're divorced, it's a question of how you divorce or how you separate. So for couples that we see who are choosing to go through their separation process or through a divorce in an organized structure with proper safeguards and supports in place, they don't go on to become a burden on society. They don't go on to suffer the same kind of social ills that are supposedly follow on from marital breakdown. It's not about marital breakdown, it's about how we break down and whether we take responsibility for our children and pick up the pieces. The monies that are being proposed or should be proposed to be spent on saving marriages are a noble initiative. However, they would be better spent on putting in place early warning radar systems to help with couples, but also to put more into the mediation service to help couples who are having difficulties. Our family mediation service, for example, in the state is heavily overworked and heavily under-resourced. If there were correct supports there in place for that, it would allow people to choose whether or not they want to stay in relationships. People should not be subliminally forced or otherwise to stay in marriages that aren't working for them. But where the state can provide a support is in making sure that the state support services, such as through the Legal Aid Board, in providing mediation, that those resources are properly expended.
Just one thing, Marie, on your point about marriage and children, what would be wrong, for instance, in a scenario whereby children are grown up, the parents decide at some stage, okay, they're no longer compatible, the relationship is no longer sustainable. Mm. What's the big deal in divorcing then?
Well, that's a good question, Mick. I even when children grow up and come of age, that's not to say, and their parents' marriages break up. I think you know it would be difficult to say that they weren't affected by.
But to what extent compared to when they were children?
Well, yes. But the studies, for instance, in the U.S. suggest that children who of divorced marriages are more likely to divorce themselves. And so there is a societal and an intergenerational impact that we should really be concerned with. I mean, whatever your views about divorce, whether you believe that it is something that is a necessary evil, if you like, or whether you're against it totally, I don't think anybody wants to see the situation where we have a divorce rate of between 40 and 50%, as they have in the UK. Mm. And I think that has grave, effects on society, be it it affects the stability of society. There is a huge human cost, as well as a financial cost, as Harry Benson mentioned there on the phone earlier.
Owen Cullinan, you were, understandably, you were kind of dealing with the individual, the micro issue. But what about that macro point? How do we avoid this issue where culturally divorce becomes the norm? You have it in one and two marriages in the UK. Well, I presume that's something we do want to avoid.
It's obviously good to have a high marriage rate and a low marriage breakdown rate. But the reality of it is, if we take a look at it in a broader context, culturally and socially, Ireland and the United Kingdom are two very different jurisdictions. We work very closely with a group of family mediators in London, and we share information and training. And the demographics that they deal with are completely different to our own. I think the figures that we have this morning that you're looking at are very, very interesting, because what has happened is we've had almost 500,000 non-nationals come into the country, where you have people from different cultures and different backgrounds and different attitudes to divorce. So that's going to skew the divorce rate for starters. That's the first thing. And the level of social breakdown in certain aspects of UK society as well too is a factor that has to be taken into account. Do we have the same level of breakdown in Ireland? Is that resultant directly from marital breakdown? At this point in time, I would say no. It's not.
If I could come in there for one second, I think I'm not going to argue because the you know, with Owen about the rate clearly isn't the same as in the UK. But I think we can learn lessons. For instance, in an article published in The Guardian last year, after a study that was done by Grant Thornton, it was discovered that the most often cited reason for divorce is couples growing apart. In the US, 60% of divorces are classed as low conflict. And for me, that raises the question, perhaps if these people were given the right support, you know, those marriages could be saved. There was another study done by a sociologist in the University of Chicago, and she found that 64% of couples who claimed they were unhappy, but they stayed together, when she went back to them 5 years later, they now said they were happy. So permanent marital, you know, unhappiness is actually quite rare.
But not every marriage would work out like that.
Like what?
I mean, if people are deeply unhappy, it can have repercussions for the children. Sometimes they're much better off to divorce and separate rather
I wouldn't disagree that I think a child growing up in a house where there is high conflict obviously is not a good situation. But the fact remains that a good low-conflict marriage is always better than any kind of divorce, be it a low-conflict divorce or a high-conflict divorce.
Susan O'Keefe, would you agree with that?
I mean, I think a lot of people enter into marriage now, and there is a lack of understanding about the fact that it is something that you have to work at, that over long, long years, it changes. You change, your partner changes, your expectations change. If you have children, it changes. And I would the thing I would go back to and stress again is that need to understand what marriage is about. Now, who takes responsibility for that and how we... I feel very much that what's happening in the UK, it feels like a right-wing backlash to me. It feels like a very kind of... If you look at the language around the establishment of this foundation, it's very much about making people understand. I don't believe you can make people understand. Well,
What about that argument that Harry Benson was making, that living together before you get married actually leads to a greater likelihood of divorcing subsequently? A lot of people, I imagine, would say maybe it's a good idea to live together before you get married, before you make that absolute commitment.
Well, you see, can you say that? I mean, there is no one size fits all. Plenty of people do live together before they're married and go on and have very happy marriages, and some break down.
But the figures show they are more likely to break down. Their marriages are more likely to break down subsequently.
Well, that's a very interesting statistic for a couple of reasons. The first one is it's my wedding anniversary tomorrow, and the second thing is I lived with my wife before, obviously, as most young people in Ireland would. So.
Yeah, but I'm not saying that every cohabiting couple is going to break up. Obviously, that's not the case. But the instance of marital breakdown is higher among couples who have cohabited prior to marriage.
That is a statistical fact.
It is worth looking also at the divorce statistics in the UK were actually falling, and they had gone right back up until 2010. We seem to think that the UK is full of people divorcing. The figures are beginning to rise slowly again, and one of the contributing factors people believe is recession and the stress of recession. And therefore I would agree that it is government's responsibility to try to create, if you like, a better environment, so that if you like the recessionary effect on people's lives, whether it's through their marriage or whatever it can be lessened. But I'm still not sure we have a direct responsibility in terms of the guidance for marriage, but I believe it should be there.
Okay, we're just almost out of time. Owen Cullen.
I suppose the final point is, and that ties in exactly what the position is, that we're experiencing as mediators on the ground debt management. It is a major factor in marital breakdown in the country at the moment. We're helping couples who are managing very large scale debts from people in their 30s up to their 60s, and that is like adding fuel to the fire at the moment. And that definitely is going to have an effect on the divorce figures you'll see over the next 4 to 5 years.
There'll be less divorce.
People can't afford to divorce.
Yeah.
And I'll be divorced if I don't quote my husband, who always quotes Groucho Marx to me and always says, well, you know, marriage is an institution, but who wants to spend the rest of their lives in an institution?
Okay. Maria Steen, just very briefly, here's a text in. So I'm right in thinking that an unhappy marriage is better than a low-conflict divorce. What's the rationale for that? Because it is marriage poppycock. What would you say?
No, I'm not saying an unhappy marriage. What I said, actually, to be fair to me, was that a good low-conflict marriage is always better than divorce. And the studies, the American studies show, I have one here in front of me that I can pass on to yourselves. Finally, I would like to speak up for all the couples who are an inspiration to me, couples who've been married 20, 30, 40 years, and who demonstrate to me that, you know, a lifelong, loving, committed marriage is possible and attainable. They still hold hands after all the years, they still have fun together, and they have a life's history together. And I think that's what we need to encourage in our young people, okay, that this is a possible outcome.
Okay, we're at bang out of time. A lot of texts coming in on this. People owe it to their children to be happy. They're models for their children. Divorce allows two people to separate when it's not working anymore. Much healthier for the children than being in a relationship with anger and animosity. But Stephen in Cork says, is it not a case that modern society is becoming more individualised and selfish, and therefore people are less willing to work on their issues? Okay, we have to leave it there. We could have gone on for a lot longer with this. My thanks to Maria Steen, barrister and director of the IONA Institute, Owen Cullen, mediator with Family Mediation Ireland, and Susan O'Keefe, Labour Senator. Up next, I'm going to be talking to Ireland rugby legend Mick Gough.